Our first reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all of their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. The second reading is from Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Jesus stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Their young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Claire. Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Her Majesty the Queen, for her deep faith in you. And as her life has been in service of you, in and through your Holy Spirit, we give thanks that the same Spirit is with us today. So may our meditations, our thoughts, and my words be pleasing to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few weeks ago, I did a school placement at St. Mary's School here in town, and I thought, why should all the fun be saved for school assemblies? So I'm going to do a bit of show and tell, if that's okay by you. Now, I'm known in the church as someone who likes coffee. Matt said to me on the sound desk this morning, "Well, isn't that just about putting a spoonful of powder in a cup and pouring water on it?" I said, "Leave this place, please. There's no coffee here." So, To make decent coffee, you need the coffee beans. That doesn't smell like instant, that, Matt. You need the coffee beans. But the coffee beans are exactly that. They are beans. But you need decent coffee beans to make decent coffee. And to make decent coffee, you need to do something with the beans. That means grinding the beans. So you need another piece of equipment, a little grinder, perhaps, that releases the flavour of the beans. It prepares the beans ready to make the coffee. So you need the equipment to prepare the beans. But you also need a vessel. You need something for the prepped coffee beans to be in to make the coffee. And so people who really know what they're doing use one of these. I can see many of you go, I've never seen one of those before. Well, like Matt, shame on you as well. So the water goes in here, the beans go in the top, and you have everything prepped. You have the best beans, you've had the equipment to prepare the beans, and you have the vessel to put the beans and the water in. But then what? Does anything happen? You need the heat, the power to boil the water, to infuse into the beans and make the fresh ground coffee into nice espresso. So, all Christians are filled or have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, but coffee bean Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit through their exposure to the energy of the Holy Spirit. Whatever the case, without the energy of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, we are left simply with the practical nuts and bolts of religion. Coffee bean Christians are full of the Holy Spirit. They are flavoured with the Holy Spirit, and they are fulfilled by having the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Full, flavoured, and fulfilled. So let's look at this first reading, the reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was sent full of the Holy Spirit, Luke tells us, as he goes into the wilderness, prepared for the battle of temptation and testing. And being full of the Holy Spirit allows Jesus to counterbalance the work of the devil. And the same applies to us, of course. Being filled with the Holy Spirit preps us, prepares us to counterbalance the work of the dark one, the evil one. We need to be asked, of course, to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Why do we need this? Well, there's a reminder from Luke in verse 13. When the devil had finished his tempting, he left him alone to an opportune time. A reminder for us to stay focused in and through the Holy Spirit. Flavoured by the Holy Spirit, Luke tells us that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. We also need to be led by him. And if we are led by him, we pick up some of the flavouring of the Holy Spirit. Some of the flavouring, one holy flavouring at our disposal is the authoritative use of Scripture to reveal the will of God. Just like Jesus, we are called to say, as Luke records in verse 4, it is written. According to Earl Ellis in the New Century Bible commentary, the Bible is the word of divine authority and therefore the word of finality. The word of divine authority and therefore the word of finality. Three times the devil tempts and three times Jesus uses Scripture to rebuff the advances of the devil. We should be flavoured by the Holy Spirit. fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that Jesus returned from the wilderness in verse 14 in the power of the Spirit. Through the power of the Spirit, his ministry begins by reading Isaiah 61. We read later in verse 21, he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And we, as his people, are part of this big story, the grand narrative. Our lives are also individually fulfilled in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And then we hear at the Acts 2 account of the early stages of the Christian church. Full of the Holy Spirit, flavoured by the Holy Spirit, fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. The church full of the Holy Spirit, the inaugural moment of the Holy Spirit for all who seek Jesus. In verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, Luke tells us. The Holy Spirit was previously made available by God to certain people for certain circumstances. He's now available to the global community of God's people. John Stott describes Pentecost as the equipping of the first apostles as the primary witnesses. And we are now also equipped as witnesses too. Secondary, perhaps. Secondary, yes, but with the fullness of the Spirit available to us all right now, right here. The fullness of the Spirit available to us all. The church flavoured by the Holy Spirit. The disciples receive another holy flavouring from the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that they, in verse 4, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And in verse 11, the God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven proclaimed, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." An example of the equipment gifted to the first disciples. An example of a gift available to us now. A gift to aid in mission and to witness to others. Along with the word of God, and in turn, for those flavoured by the Holy Spirit, they are complemented by the fruits of the Spirit. And of course, we know those fruits to be love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, the Apostle Paul tells us, Galatians 5, 22-23. The church is fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the fulfilment of Jesus' promise to equip all Christians with the Holy Spirit. Mission through the Holy Spirit. Evangelism through the Holy Spirit. Hospitality through the Holy Spirit. Discipleship through the Holy Spirit. Worship through the Holy Spirit. Prayer through the Holy Spirit. And fellowship through and in the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the fulfillment of the church as the body of Christ. In Ephesians 3, 16-17. Paul says, "I pray that of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit." And he continues in chapter 4, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called." And all this helps to explain Peter's address to the crowd in today's reading. "These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And Peter continues by quoting the prophet Joel, thereby explaining the extraordinary phenomenon of the first Spirit-filled believers declaring the wonders of God in foreign languages, in fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. That God will pour out his Spirit on all believers. And one final, more practical point before I finish. Google's definition of fulfillment is satisfied or happy because of fully developing one's abilities and character. Satisfied or happy because of fully developing one's abilities or character. A different meaning of fulfillment, perhaps, but one with a personal meaning for us all. It's our identity in Jesus through the Holy Spirit that we are satisfied. It's our identity in Jesus through the Holy Spirit that we will be happy. And it's through our identity in Jesus, through and in the Holy Spirit, that we will fully develop our abilities and character by seeking the character of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So let's return to the coffee making sketch for just a moment. The parable of the coffee beans, perhaps you could call it. You can have the best coffee beans, perfectly roasted, sourced well, and these beans represent believers in Christ, doing good works, engaging with church life, and being part of a community. And you can have the best equipment to make the coffee, the grinder, the scales even, to measure the beans and get the right amount of beans for how much coffee that you want to make. Books on making coffee, perhaps. And yes, I do have them. And these represent the elements that sustain our faith. The Bible, prayer, our worship band, good music, good visuals and sound, live streaming the service. Welcome to everybody who worships with us online. And you can have the coffee pot, the best way to make coffee in an espresso pot, containing the ground beans and water, representing our church building where we all meet. But you can't make the coffee without energy, heat, and power. And faith, even with all the elements that I've just described, without the power of the Holy Spirit, is just religion. As a church community, we need the energy, the guidance, the direction of the Holy Spirit. As individual believers, we need the power of the Holy Spirit living in us to make our Christian faith joyful, worshipful, prayerful, and loving. And to conclude, that same sense of awe, wonder, amazement, and love that was felt by those first disciples as they sat at the feet of Jesus, enjoying his fellowship and his teaching. That same sense of awe, wonder, amazement, as they sat with Jesus, ate with Jesus, and were taught by Jesus, is available to us right now, in and through being filled with the Holy Spirit. May the Spirit kindle in us all the fire of God's love. Amen.